Would you please pray with me? May the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So this Advent, we've been looking at the Advent conspiracy. We've gone through a couple different themes. We started out with worshiping fully. Last week, we talked about spending less. And today, we talk about giving more. Here at MCC, we have lots of different ways that we sort of up our giving during Advent. When you head out into the parlor after the service, you'll notice that Outreach has a table selling Christmas cards, raising money for a few different organizations. And this year, one of the organizations that we're looking at is the IRC, and I always forget what it stands for. It's the International Rescue Committee. This is a group that works with refugees, that is focused on many of the troubling areas of the world, providing help in Syria and in Iraq, Lebanon, Turkey, and Jordan, in Afghanistan, and in Greece, and in 26 resettlement offices in the United States. This is the first time that we're using this organization, that we're raising money for this organization, because someone brought it to our attention and we recognized that it was a need that we had this year that would really work to do God's work addressing issues in today's world. And often we need to do that. We need to focus on our Christmas joy, recognize what we need to do to give more in the world, and look at our practices and re-examine what we do. We've also been looking at the narrative lectionary for a few years now, and we're at a moment in the narrative lectionary where we make a change. Throughout the fall, we've been focused on the Hebrew Bible, what we often refer to as the Old Testament. And today is our last Sunday looking at that, because as we enter into Christmas now, we switch to the New Testament, to the story of Jesus. And interestingly, this is kind of one of those Bible geek things that not everybody knows, but the way that the followers of Judaism arrange the Bible, the books of the Bible, is different from the way that Christians do. And for Jews, the book of Ezra finishes the Bible. It's the last book in the Bible. So this story, the story of reclaiming the temple, of rebuilding the temple, a temple that had been destroyed, becomes the culmination of all of the stories before. We've taken a journey this fall, starting at creation, and seeing this small group of God's chosen people gather together and begin to form a nation. And then we saw that nation be divided by corrupt rulers, and then be conquered by other empires, and the Israelites spread throughout the world. But now here in the book of Ezra, the prophecies of Jeremiah and of other prophets start to come to fruition. The people are gathered again back in their homeland, and the temple that had been destroyed begins to get rebuilt. And so in some ways, it's this moment of joy. It's this excitement about God has come through to us. And here we are, we're back on our feet, and we're rebuilding. But the story tells us that in the midst of the joyful shouts, people were weeping. Because for some, they recognized that this temple was never going to be the same as the last temple. And they recognized that even though they had returned home, they were now strangers in their own land, and people who had been left behind held resentments, and things weren't as great, maybe, as they had seemed. And that idea of people weeping in the midst of shouts of joy got me really thinking this Christmas season. We've been talking a lot, unfortunately, over the past couple weeks about troubles in the world. And as we focus on joy, and as we look towards Christmas, and as we decorate our houses, and we sing our carols, and we feel the joy of the love of God, I ask that question of, are others weeping while we are shouting with joy? In the past week, by some accounts, there have been 16 instances of hate crimes against Muslims, including a firebombing of a mosque. There are people, brothers and sisters of ours, who are feeling attacked, who are being attacked. The media reports on calls from politicians to ban all Muslims from entering our country. The president of a prominent Christian university told his students to go out and buy guns so that they can be prepared against the Muslims. Now, I don't normally do this kind of thing, but there's a letter that I want to read from an American Muslim public interest lawyer. Because honestly, this isn't the kind of thing that I can speak about. I don't feel attacked. I can go about my Christmas season feeling joy and celebrating with my family, and nothing really changes for me. But these words really spoke to me. These are the words of Sophia Ali Khan. She's a writer, and she raises her kids outside of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Dear non-Muslim allies, I'm writing to you because it has gotten just that bad. I have found myself telling too many people about the advice given to me years ago by the late composer Herbert Brunn, a German Jew who fled Germany at the age of 15. Be sure that your passport is in order. It's not enough to laugh at Donald Trump anymore. The rhetoric about Muslims has gotten so nasty and is everywhere on every channel, every news feed. It is clearly fueling daily events of targeted violence, vandalism, vigilante harassment, discrimination. I want you to know that it has gotten bad enough that my family and I talk about what to keep on hand if we need to leave quickly, and where we should go, maybe if the election goes the wrong way, or if folks get stirred up enough to be dangerous before the election. When things seem less scary, we talk about a 5 or a 10-year plan to go somewhere where the cops don't carry guns and hate speech isn't allowed on network television. If you don't already know this about me, I want you to know that I was born in this country. I have lived my whole life in this country. I have spent my entire adult life working to help the poor, the disabled, and the dispossessed access the legal system in this country. And I want you to know that I am devoutly and proudly Muslim. I'm writing this in response to a non-Muslim's friend's question about what she can do, because there is so much that can be done in solidarity. If you see a Muslim or someone who might be identified as a Muslim being harassed, stop, say something, intervene, call for help. If you ride public transportation, sit next to the hijabi woman and say, "Assalamu alaikum." That means peace to you. Don't worry about mispronouncing it. She won't care. Just say peace if that's what you're comfortable with. She'll smile. Smile back. If you feel like it, start a conversation. If you don't, just sit there and make sure that no one harasses her. If you have a Muslim work colleague, check in. Tell them that the news is horrifying and that you want them to know that you are there for them. If you have neighbors who are Muslim, keep an eye out for them. If you're walking your kids home from the bus stop, invite their kids to walk with you. talk to your kids. They're picking up on the anti-Muslim message. Make sure that they know how you feel and talk to them about what they can do when they see bullying or hear hate speech at school. Call out hate speech when you hear it. If it incites hatred or violence against a specified group, call it out. In your living room, at work, with friends, in public, it's most important that you do this among folks who may not know a Muslim. Set up a Learn About Islam forum at your book club, school, congregation, dinner club. Call your State Council on American Islamic Relations organization, interfaith group, or local mosque, and see if there is someone who has speaking experience and could come answer questions about Islam and American Muslims for your group. They won't be offended. They will want the opportunity to do something to dispel the nastiness. Write op-eds and articles saying how deplorable the anti-Muslim rhetoric has gotten, and voice your support for the Muslim Americans in whatever way you can. Call your state and local representatives. Let them know that you are concerned about hate speech against your Muslim friends and neighbors in politics and the media, that it is unacceptable, and that you want to call it out wherever, you want them to call it out wherever they hear it on your behalf. Out yourself as someone who won't stand for Islamophobia or will stand with Muslims. There is an awful lot of hate filling the airways, and there are an awful lot of people with access to the media and or authority stirring the pot about Muslims. Please help fill that space with support instead. Post, write, use your profile picture or blog to voice your support. Ask me anything, really. Engage the Muslims in your life. Make sure you really feel comfortable standing for and with your Muslim friends, neighbors, coworkers. I can tell you that in addition to the very real threat to their civil and human rights that Muslims are facing, we are dealing with a tremendous amount of anxiety. While we, many of us, rely on our faith to stay strong, we are human. This is not an easy time. What you do will mean everything to the Muslim Americans around you. Thank you for reading, and bless you in your efforts. Share freely. I'll have copies of this letter outside in the parlor if anybody's interested in taking one. As we celebrate this Christmas with shouts of joy, are there others around us weeping and in pain? What will you do this Christmas to reach out to those who are weeping? How can we continue to find joy in knowing that God calls us to love our neighbors? This Christmas, as you feel the joy of Christ in your heart, remember that the Christmas story is a story of God's love brought to life by a poor child, homeless, wandering, struggling. Christ's story is the story of the outsider, is the story of the oppressed, and it is the story of how God's love comes to us so that we can reach out in love to support our neighbors. So this Christmas, how will you support with love and joy your Muslim friends? Amen.